this is Alton Banks from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the Triangle Business Journal. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Angier. They can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as a person it represents. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. As we begin this week's Triangle Business Journal, we turn inside to the biz page as usual. And inside this, we find under the heading of Workplace, the article, Office Design Pivots to Keep Employees in Mind. As companies compete for talent, employees and human resources departments have found a greater role in developing space and amenities as companies seek to attract and keep employees in a tight labor market. Needs are changing. The decision makers are changing. We have human resources at the table, head of IT making people decisions, J.L.L. Raleigh, Managing Director, Kamari Ankenbrand says, the end user is making more demands. Modern offices increasingly feature open layouts, common areas, and smaller conference rooms and meeting spaces, plus more amenities. Jeffrey Payne of Durham's Duda Payne Architects says these trends often mimic university student centers. Aesthetic demands are increasing, Payne says. The young workforce wants an authentic environment. Ankenbrand adds that employees seek a different experience. They're demanding it, and they have the ability to say, if my company doesn't have it, I can go down to the company down the street. And under the heading of Food Wars, the article is Charlotte Hornets decide it's no longer bow time. Bojangle was born in Charlotte and has been one of the longest-running sponsors of the Charlotte Hornets. But the hometown franchise is getting booted out of the Hornets' home arena, the Spectrum Center. The Hornets are making Chick-fil-A the official chicken provider for the team, and Hugo the Hornet even celebrated the deal with the Chick-fil-A cowl. But for Bojangles, all is not lost. At least you can get the Cajun-style chicken at Charlotte's Bojangles Coliseum, where the Charlotte Checkers play. And under the heading of home prices comes the article, Want a Big House? Here's where to look. If you've got $1 million to spend and want a big house, then New York City is not the place for you. New research by Zillow says $1 million will only get you 1,000 square feet in the city. By comparison, $1 million will get you a median home of 4,311 square feet in Durham, and 4,349 in Raleigh. If you want even more size, consider Greensboro, where a realtor will happily accept your $1 million offer on a 5,540 square foot home. And under the heading of donation comes the article, Thanks a Million, Shaw says to Forbes family for big gift. Raleigh Shaw University has just brought in a major gift. The Forbes family, which includes Bishop James Forbes, Evangeline Forbes Richardson, and David Forbes, has pledged $1 million plus a commitment to supporting the university for years to come. David Forbes Jr. graduated from Shaw in the 1960s and served as Dean of Shaw's Divinity School and as a trustee. And James Forbes Jr. is a nationally recognized theologian. The Forbes name has been part of the Shaw University family tree for a long time, James Forbes said, and you can see what your family means to us by where we are standing today. And under the heading of New Era comes the article, Raleigh Council Winners Celebrate at Brewery Event. The new Raleigh City Council gets sworn in December 2nd, but the new members and others were in a festive mood October 21st, at Brewery Bavana. Mayor-elect Marianne Baldwin joined new council members David Knight, Jonathan Nelson, and Sage Martin, and current member Nicole Stewart for a lighthearted evening. Also in the crowd were Wake County Commissioner Sig Hutchinson and Matt Smith, the executive director of the Wake Tech Foundation. Among the hosts were Vanvisa Nalintha, Vansana Nalintha, Ashley Christensen, David Meeker, Scott Crawford, and Gus Gussler. Baldwin says the event was scheduled to be a fundraiser, but with no runoffs, became a celebration. She says the crowd was wall to wall. The energy in the room was electric, she says. It was really amazing. The new council follows one that had been contentious. We know we're going to disagree, Baldwin says, but we're committing to disagreeing nicely and putting the community first. And rounding out today's biz page under the heading of development comes the article, Triangle Targets French City with Rich Biotech Industries. The French city of Lyon is 300 miles southeast of Paris, and not a place you'd expect to be a prime target for those seeking foreign investments. But Lyon is home to the largest biocluster in France, the 226-member Lyon Biopole. And just outside the city is the headquarters of Biomérieux, which has its U.S. headquarters in Durham. So earlier this month, seven Triangle leaders visited Lyon to explore how the two regions with the complementary industries might work together. Most of the people in the rest of the world don't know where North Carolina is on a map, says Ryan Combs, the executive director of the Research Triangle Regional Partnership, who was joined on the trip by executives from the NC Biotech Center, the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, and Wake County Economic Development. They know Boston, New York, San Francisco, and Orlando. When you tell them you're from North Carolina, they give you this blank look. Lyon, he says, is always overlooked by Paris, so they sort of feel our pain. With Lyon Biopole, the triangle wants to be considered when those firms grow. The relationships are really key in making sure that we get boots on the ground, that we can shake their hands and share information firsthand, says Kathleen Henry of Wake Economic Development. Combs says the cost of the trip for RTRP was only $10,000. Thanks to sponsors such as Delta Airlines. He notes a similar trip to Washington to meet with Polish representatives led to Neontree moving to Raleigh in September. Combs said the French trip was boosted by a reception where Alexandre Mérieux, the CEO of Biomérieux, talked up the triangle. It really gave us another level of credibility, he says. Now we turn the page to this week's technology and startups page from the journal, and under the heading of Adding Cash comes the article, Pendo Adds Financing Round for $100 Million. It's been a big month for Pendo.io, a Raleigh startup that on October 17th announced a $100 million financing round that brought with it a $1 billion valuation. Triangle Business Journal asks CEO Todd Olson if the company, now at 389 employees and expanding, is looking at IPO possibilities. We have to continue to build the business that's capable of going public, he says. I think a lot about IPO readiness, whether we end up doing that or not. As we get larger in scale, we have to make sure it's a viable option for the business. So we'll do that. As far as timing, we're nowhere near close to being a public company. The latest round was led by Sapphire Ventures. New investors included General Atlantic and Tiger Global, as well as existing backers Battery Ventures, Meritech Capital, Firstmark, and Geodesic Capital. Pendo will move its headquarters to a new tower being built at 301 Hillsborough Street by the Fallon Company. And under the heading of Market Watch comes the article, Doubling Down on Durham. 4 years after buying out Durham-based Apia and a $100 million stock and debt deal, Digital Turbine is finding its groove in the Bull City. That's according to Matt Tubergen, Executive Vice President of Digital Turbine Media, who leads the Durham operation. Digital Turbine is based in Austin, Texas. Apia was the launching pad, essentially, for the media business inside Digital Turbine, he explained. We've almost doubled our staff in the last year. The company is at nearly 175 employees, with about 75 in Durham, and growing. Today, there are 25 open positions, with about half in Durham, he adds. And under the heading of What's Next, the article, Return to the Tank for Zookie's Cookies. 7 months after its appearance on Shark Tank aired, bake-at-home dog treat startup Zookie's Cookies is going strong. Raleigh entrepreneurs Justin Miller and Tom Simon will update viewers during the October 27th episode of the hit show on the ABC network. The pair walked away from their episode with a $50,000 investment from Drybar founder Ali Webb. We did close to six figures in sales right out of the gate, Miller says. As for the two-minute clip that's coming, from what I've heard, that can be more lucrative than the initial pitch, Miller says, and its timing coincides with the holiday shopping season. And finally, from the technology and startups page under the heading RDU's Restaurant Changes, comes the article, Coming Soon. Here are the concept changes being planned for Terminal 2, scheduled to open in January. Carolina Ale House becomes Cantina Grill. A&W All American Food becomes Asian Restaurant Wow Bowl. Brookwood Farms becomes Deli and Company. Gordon Biersch becomes Bond Brothers Brewery. Carolina Vintages becomes Raleigh Tap Room, and Flavors becomes Healthy Concept Rush Bowls. New restaurants are coming to Terminal 2 at Raleigh-Durham International Airport, and they're being brought in by a new-to-RDU concessionaire. Spanish-founded Vendor Areas USA is signing a short-term contract with RDU to change up food offerings, from changing over the Carolina Ale House to Cantina Grill to implementing a Bond Brothers Brewery in what, right now, is Gordon Biersch. Next, we turn to the healthcare and education pages of the Triangle Business Journal. And under the heading of Patent Watch comes the article, NC State Product Could Find More Applications. Potential applications of a revolutionary new material coming out of NC State University continue to grow and could now include the aerospace industry. Just months after introducing a material more bulletproof and heat-resistant than steel at half the weight, NC State researcher Afsani Rabie has now shown the material could be more effective than aerospace-grade aluminum for use in airplane wings. Rabie, a professor of mechanical and aerospace engineering at the university, continues her work on composite metal foam, which consists of hollow metallic spheres made of steel or titanium that are embedded in a matrix of metallic alloys. And under the heading of Cash Crunch comes the article, Triangle Biotech Evaluating Options as Sales of Key Robotic Product Continue to Slump. After a long road of financial difficulties, Research Triangle Park-based Transenterix has announced it's exploring a potential sale or partnership opportunities and is undergoing a restructure to stay afloat beyond the first quarter of next year. The limited sales of the Senhance surgical system have led to its stock value dropping. Now, following another quarter in which it sold just one system, earning it about $2 million, the company says it has brought on J.P. Morgan Securities, LLC, to consider strategic alternatives, including a sale of the company, a financing of the company, a strategic partnership or collaboration, or some other form of commercial relationship. The company is also undergoing a restructuring plan to reduce operating expenses. We are implementing a plan that will refocus our resources on the continued global market development and commercialization of our current platform and development of our next generation Senhance features and related instruments while reducing our overall operating expenses, President and CEO Todd Pope said in a statement. In addition, the company announced Chief Financial Officer Joseph Slattery plans to leave the company at the end of the year, but will remain a consultant through the first half of 2020. As of September 30th, the company reported cash and cash equivalents and short-term investments of $22.8 million. The company announced it's also finalized an ongoing deal with Autolab, which will bring it an immediate $3 million and an additional $14 million by the end of the year. However, an equity investment of $30 million that was part of the original deal is no longer a part of the amended agreement. Based on that funding and existing funding, the company estimates it has enough capital to continue business through the first quarter of 2020. And under the heading of funding cut comes the article, Theology School Lays Off Employees Amid Dispute with Government. Apex School of Theology is on the verge of collapse after losing its federal reimbursement funding stemming from an investigation of its out-of-state sites and administration of student aid. Recent court documents related to a lawsuit filed against the U.S. Department of Education show the school has laid off a vast majority of its staff and employees and that most of its students have transferred. The school receives federal student aid programming funding for its students, such as Pell Grants. Typically, universities are reimbursed ahead of disbursing funds to students, but the school was placed on a heightened cash monitoring program in relation to an ongoing investigation into the school's satellite location in Columbus, Georgia. The school and department declined to comment. Apex is suing the DOE, which has stated it plans to continue withholding reimbursement of the funds while the investigation is underway. Apex says it can't afford to remain open for another semester without some form of reimbursement. It claims the school faces imminent and irreparable harm and that the DOE cannot claim the investigation into its Georgia site somehow affects the eligibility of Apex or its students to participate in federal student aid. And in other news from the healthcare and education pages in this week's Triangle Business Journal comes the article, Why Irish Pharma Just Bought a 20% Stake in a Triangle Drug Maker. On the eve of a Red Hill Biopharma's approval for its lead candidate, it has struck a deal for $36 million and the rights to a new drug. Red Hill Biopharma, which calls Raleigh home for its U.S. headquarters, has entered into an exclusive license agreement with Ireland-based Cosmo Pharmaceuticals for the rights to commercialize Amcolo, a treatment for traveler's diarrhea caused by non-invasive Escherichia coli. And under the heading of funding comes the article, Here's how much grant funding cancer researchers in the Triangle are receiving. With the area's massive life sciences and education hub, the Triangle is also home to an immense amount of research funding targeted at cancer. According to information from the American Cancer Society, the Triangle is home to more than 30 active grant-funded research projects. Together, the grants total $14.8 million in ongoing research throughout the region, with a vast majority housed at Duke University and UNC Chapel Hill. In fact, of the 33 grantees in the state of North Carolina, 17 are found at Duke and 13 are at UNC. The remaining researchers, supported by the American Cancer Society in North Carolina, are at Atrium Health Foundation, East Carolina University, and Wake Forest University. According to the data, Duke's current grant funding totals $5.56 million, and UNC is benefiting from just over $7 million based on a slightly larger average grant size. The largest grant size for all researchers is $792,000, which several researchers at Duke, UNC, and ECU received. Most grants are multi-year and set to expire between 2020 and 2023. Those American Cancer Society grants come on top of the massive amount of federal funding the area receives. In 2018, the Triangle area received $2,059.70 per capita in funding from the National Institutes of Health alone, totaling about $1.5 billion, the sixth highest area in the nation. And just this month, Duke received a historic $400 million grant package from the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases to research a long-lasting non-seasonal flu shot. Of the three Nobel Prize award winners announced earlier this month, two were American Cancer Society funded researchers. The organization says they represent the 48th and 49th grantees that have received the award. One of those winners, Dr. William Kalin, is a Duke alumnus and member of its Board of Trustees. This is an incredible accomplishment for our organization and its mission to attack cancer from every angle, says Gary Reddy, CEO of the American Cancer Society. No other nonprofit organization has even come close to funding as many Nobel laureates as your American Cancer Society has, a distinction that should only drive us to push that total even higher. Next, we turn to the real estate page for this week's Triangle Business Journal, and we find under the heading of Chapel Hill, the article, Developer Scraps Plans. After years of facing resistance from some members of the Chapel Hill community, a developer scrapped his plans for a major mixed-use development in the town. Dubbed Amity Station, Larry Short's plans changed over time, but essentially call for around 250,000 square feet of mixed-use space at the site of Bridman's Restaurant on West Rosemary Street. But now, he's filed new plans calling for a smaller development he believes the town will accept. It was a much larger project, Short says, from the initial plans. We got a lot of pushback from our neighbors. He's now proposing 5 mixed-use buildings for the site to feature commercial, office, and residential uses. Each building will be less than 20,000 square feet, cutting down the original vision by more than half. Each building will include around 20 apartment units and around 1,000 square feet of office space. The property's current zoning allows for the new development, Short says, and he will be sending a by-right development proposal to the Chapel Hill Planning Commission. He says the buildings will be 3 and 4 stories tall, and that he's considering including a retail component. The project will be situated on 2.2 acres made up of 5 contiguous tracks, including 318, 320, 322, 324, and 326 West Rosemary Street. While Short appears confident he'll develop the property, he says the new plans pale in comparison to the original vision. We tried a strategic urban planning process with the town, and then we tried a development agreement with the town, and both of those failed to gain approval, Short says. And we decided to submit 5 very small projects, very small, each less than 20,000 square feet. The original Amity Station project was years in the making and went through several iterations as the developers worked to come up with a plan that would be acceptable to the town. And under the heading of More Competition comes the article, Maryland Investor Buys North Raleigh Shopping Center. A real estate investment firm out of Maryland is doubling down on its investments in the Triangle with the purchase of a shopping center in North Raleigh. First Washington Realty of Bethesda bought the Harvest Plaza Shopping Center for $21 million earlier this month. The property is situated on 9.66 acres across 3 tracks at 9650 Strickland Road, at the intersection with Lead Mine Road and with easy access to Interstate 540. The shopping center includes a Walgreens and Planet Fitness, as well as a consortium of eateries and other retailers. A Lowe's Foods grocery store and several outparcel retailers are also in the Harvest Plaza Center, but the grocery store and other buildings are owned by other investors. The seller, a partnership led by Chicago-based Shiner Capital Partners and Raleigh-based York Partners, paid $15.6 million for the property in 2015 after the previous owner filed for bankruptcy years earlier, according to county real estate records. And under the heading of Grocery Wars comes the article, Lidl set to open its first store in Cary. The battle for supermarket customers in Cary continues to grow as German grocery chain Lidl is set to open its first location in the bustling community. Lidl will open November 6th at 1105 North Harrison Avenue. It will be the German company's 3rd location in the Triangle and 1st in Cary. Lidl, like its German counterpart Aldi, has thousands of locations across Europe. It arrived in the United States in 2017 and now has dozens of stores up and down the East Coast. Lidl bought the then-vacant property at 3.46 acres for $3.15 million in 2017 and began developing it earlier this year. Lidl has other locations in Raleigh and Wake Forest. And earlier this year, the company announced plans to open another store in North Raleigh at the intersection of New Hope and Buffalo Roads. That location is expected to open in the spring. Now, this week's Triangle Business Journal does not have a business voice, as is usually the case, but they do have an article entitled Small Business Profile, and they profile the business of Clancy and Thaves. Clancy and Thaves Construction Company has spent the last 7 decades building its reputation as one of the go-to construction and contracting firms in Raleigh and across the Southeast. Founded in 1949, the company is celebrating its 70th anniversary this year, reflecting on decades of growth and looking ahead as it tackles increasingly ambitious and sophisticated projects. Brothers-in-law E.I. Clancy and John Thaves founded the company in Raleigh in the post-World War II building boom. Clancy's sons, David Tim Clancy and Joel Tick Clancy, took over management in 1986 as president and executive vice president, respectively. The brothers quickly set about growing the company, expanding to 5 offices, Wilmington, Charlotte, Newport News, Virginia, and Orlando, Florida, in addition to Raleigh, and growing the company's portfolio to include increasingly ambitious projects across the Southeast. "We've done some really cool things," Tim Clancy says, noting a casino at the Greenbrier Resort in West Virginia and a launch facility for NASA. Today, Clancy and Thaves sees about $600 million worth of work per year in construction and development projects. In Raleigh, these projects include Smoky Hollow, the Dillon, Raleigh Union Station, and Park Central at North Hills. The company spent years developing its capabilities as a multifaceted commercial construction firm, and its growth has paralleled the Triangle's surge. "We're a bigger company now because we're in Raleigh," Tick Clancy says. "We've always been capable of doing bigger work. It's gotten bigger, so we've gotten bigger." Baker Glasgow, the vice president of construction and the future president and CEO, says the company has found a niche in high-profile urban projects. "Things continue to get more vertical, which meant different retail components, different office components. A lot of times developers are looking for someone to do the whole thing," he says. "They don't want to break it up and have one person do one thing and one person do another. They like to have it all under one umbrella. Fortunately for us, we do it all. So that's worked out really well for us." Glasgow also says the company has spent over a decade working to stay up to date on technologies and best practices for the industry. The company adopted Building Information Modeling, or BIM, before the recession, and has worked to stay on top of the latest innovations ever since. "That nimbleness has allowed our technology to flourish," he says. "It's been a conscious effort to make it a huge priority, so when robots are going to start building buildings, we're going to be the ones involved, versus the ones who are going to be left behind. We are not going to be Blockbuster." The company has also invested in its employees, giving them opportunities to take on additional responsibilities as their experience increases. The thing that separates Clancy and Thaves, and what they've always provided, is an entrepreneurial and empowerment type of setting, Glasgow says. "So as people step into roles in the company, it's encouraged and not shunned, and you're not shut down." Meanwhile, Tim and Tick Clancy are preparing the next generation of leaders when the time comes for the brothers to retire. Glasgow will be the president and CEO, with Tim's son, Tom, transitioning into a chairman role. "It's going to take a while for them to buy us out," says Tim Clancy, "probably another 7 or 8 years. But they've already been preparing the next leaders for success." For his part, Glasgow says the company culture of entrepreneurialism and personal responsibility has given him the opportunity to experience many of the responsibilities of his future role. "Responsibility is not something that happens with a certain title or promotion. It happens as you naturally take on more responsibility," he says. "For me specifically, it's been happening for the past 10 years. So as you have more and more responsibility, you get involved in more facets of the business. I guess you can say I've been preparing for it for a long time now." Glasgow says the company is well positioned to continue to land larger and more ambitious projects. Raleigh is in the process of going vertical, getting a lot bigger, getting a lot more sophisticated, he says. Jobs are bigger, developers and clients are more sophisticated. A lot of them are coming from out of market, and we've created an infrastructure and a company to stay in front of all that. This week's Triangle Business Journal is a little different from most of the weeks that follow, because, as you know, there's always a cover story. And this week, the cover story is actually a listing of the Healthiest Employers Awards. These are the 2019 awards for 26 employers that are deemed the healthiest. Now, they are not ranked. They're simply listed from 1 to 26. And there's far too much for me to read in the time that we have available. So I'll just list the name of the company and the specifics about CEO and the number of employees, and then a little snippet from some of these. So here we go. The healthiest employers in the area. Listed at number one is Fujifilm Diosynth Biotechnologies. That's based in Marshall. The CEO is Martin Meeson. The local HER contact is Lee Fultz, and they have 500 employees, all of them local. And the question they posed is, what's your most popular wellness initiative or opportunity? And their answer, we're extremely excited about our new wellness center. This area combines the fitness area as well as our occupational nurse and all her services, as well as resources such as nutritionist, meditation classes, EAP counselor, and free massages. We also hold all of our wellness events, including safety fairs, in this area. One of the many positives we're hearing from employees is that the new wellness center is more private and accessible. We now have real dressing rooms and showers nearby. Employees feel more comfortable using this space than when we had it scattered all over the campus. And listed number two is Syngenta Crop Protection, LLC, and that's based in Research Triangle Park. The CEO is Eric Firewald. The local HR contact is Betty Ann Newsom. They have 364 employees locally out of a total of 27,732. And when they answered the question, what's your more popular wellness initiative, they answered, reaping rewards that offer up to $250 a year for each employee. Number three of the winners, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina, based in Durham. And the CEO is in the interim right now. His name is Gerald Petkow. The local HR contact is Megan McCurdy. And they have 3,000 local employees out of a total of 4,800. The Lord Corporation is number four. That's based in Cary. The CEO is Ed Auslander. The local HR contact is Doug Stein. They have 350 local employees out of a total of 3,000 employees. And when asked, what's your most popular wellness initiative or opportunity, they answered, free on-site annual health screenings and flu shots. 9-hole disc golf course on campus, a community garden open to all employees, farmers market weekly during summer, free veggie wrap cookout, free blood pressure monitors to those who qualify. Listed as number five is WakeMed Health and Hospitals in Raleigh. The CEO, Donald Ginzig. The local HR contact is Janine Martin, and they have 10,000 employees, all of whom are located locally. Clarkston Consulting comes in from Durham at number six. Their CEO, Tom Finnegan. Their local HR contact is Carrie Ledgerwood. They have 60 local employees out of a total of 275. And when asked, what's your most popular wellness initiative? They answered, our company-wide step challenges. It allows our people, who are spread across the country, to connect with each other and celebrate physical activity in a virtual environment. We encourage people to form teams based on their project, client site, or location, and have them walk or run from our headquarters office to the city where our company-wide marketing will be held. We provide updates of where the teams and individuals are on a map on the road to the meeting. It not only keeps our people healthy and active, but it also creates camaraderie between teams and individuals to the firm, even if we're all working in different cities across the U.S. And number seven is Parata Systems, based out of Durham. Their CEO is Rob Kill. The local HR contact, Alan Fisher. And they have 185 employees located locally, with 389 total employees. Number eight, Coastal Credit Union out of Raleigh. The CEO is Chuck Purvis. The local HR contact is Amy Gravite. They have 534 employees, all of whom are located locally. And when asked, what's your most popular wellness initiative? Their answer, on-site wellness classes such as Zumba, yoga, interval training, and self-defense. Our free screenings have also been very popular and impactful. And scanning down our list of the healthiest employers, listed at number nine is Workplace Options, based in Raleigh. The CEO is Dean Debnam. The local HR contact is Gene McGraw. They have 310 employees located locally out of a total of 710. And when the question is posed, what's your most popular wellness initiative? Their answer, our on-site personnel training offering is the most commonly used wellness initiative. We have three certified personal training professionals on staff at Workplace Options, and we find this is a wellness opportunity that employees take advantage of the most. Having the gym on site offers great convenience to employees who are able to have a one-on-one personalized session before, during, or after work without the hassle of finding time to drive to another location. And listed at number 10 in the healthiest employers is the Raleigh-Durham Airport Authority, based in Marshville. The CEO is Michael Langeth. The local HR contact is Cleon Humphrey. And they have 360 employees, all located locally. Number 11, the healthiest employers is Mertz North America Incorporated, located in Raleigh. Their CEO is Bob Radigan. The local HR contact is Hyuna Quilo. And they have 234 employees locally, out of a total of 760. Number 12 is the Autism Society of North Carolina in Raleigh. The CEO, Tracy Sheriff. The local HR contact is Heather Hankinson. They have 300 employees located locally, out of a total of 1,285 employees. Number 13 is the Builders Mutual Insurance Company in Raleigh. CEO, John Boggs. Local HR contact is Michelle Hemrick. Number of local employees, 282 out of a total of 365. When the question, what's your most popular wellness initiative or opportunity, was posed, their answer was, our health challenges are the most engaging wellness initiatives. Our April showers challenge, to drink more water, is always a fun one. Everyone needs to focus on increasing their water intake over the course of a month. Those who reach the ultimate goal win a prize to a garden shop. Number 14, the store office environments, located in Raleigh, and the CEO is Tom Van de Gucht. Local HR contact is Colleen Muldoon, and they have 200 employees located locally, with out of a total of 250 employees. And when asked about their most popular wellness initiative, answer, our exercise component of our Fit Life program. This program has the largest participation, allowing team members to choose and customize an exercise regimen that fits their needs, depending on their level of commitment to exercise, by selecting a 7-day-per-month program up to a 20-day-per-month program. Number 15 on our list of healthiest employers, CGI, based in Fairfax, Virginia. Their CEO is George Schindler. The local HR contact is Shannon McBride. They have a total number of 1,266 employees, and 117 are located there in Fairfax. Number 16 is NV5 in Cary. The CEO is Jill Wells Heath. Their local HR contact is Vicki Kiefer, and they have 220 total employees, of whom 115 are local. Number 17 is Wyrick Robbins, located in Raleigh. The managing partner is James Yates, Jr., and their local HR contact is Lori Oliver. and they have a total number of 157 employees, all located in Raleigh. And when asked, what's your most popular wellness initiative? Their answer, the Healthy Lifestyle Reimbursement Allowance remains a popular opportunity, but is even more so in 2019 as it continued to expand. The majority of our employees use the reimbursement program for eligible items such as fitness subscriptions, weight loss programs, personal trainers, and so forth. Number 18 in the healthiest employers is Baker Roofing, based in Raleigh. The president's Mark Lee. The local HR contact is Gisela Corneo, and they have 515 local employees out of a total of 1,250. 19 is U-Haul out of Phoenix. The CEO is Joe Schoen, and the local HR contact is Monique Wantland, and they have 30,000 total employees. When posed with the question, what's your most popular wellness initiative? They answered the gym reimbursement and the registered dietitian reimbursement programs. And we just introduced our new EAP program called the You Matter program. Number 20 on the list is Accenture, based in Raleigh. The CEO is Julie Sweet. The local HR contact is Brooke Steele. And locally, they have 400 employees out of a total of 482,000. Number 21 on the list is the Fifth Third Bank. That's based in Cincinnati. The CEO is Greg Carmichael. Their local HR contact is Sonia Soto. They have 88 employees in the local area out of a total of 20,000. And when posed with the question, what's your most popular wellness initiative? Their answer, employees like the wellness activity rewards and monetary incentives which Fifth Third Bank provides for fitness prevention and education. We incentivize employees with $1,800 in their paychecks for verified participation in a wide variety of wellness activities, including exercising, flu shots, financial planning, meditating, and learning about a healthy lifestyle. Another popular aspect of our wellness strategy is the mobile app, which makes it easy for employees to track their progress. Number 22 on the list is UCB Biosciences, based here in Raleigh. The CEO is Jean-Christophe Tellier. The local HR contact is Susan Murphy. They have 250 employees located locally out of 7,500. Number 23 is Galloway Ridge out of Pittsburgh. The CEO is Robert Zimmer. The local HR contact is Kathy Turner. And they have 375 total employees, all located locally. Number 24, the Food Bank of Central and Eastern North Carolina, based in Raleigh, with the CEO being Peter Werbicki. The local HR contact is Charles Burton. And all of their employees are located locally, and there are 117 of them. Number 25 is Andrix Fabrics and Rolls. They're based in Youngsville. The CEO is Mark Staten. The local HR contact is Sarah Pierce. They have 57 local employees out of a total of 640. Finally, number 26 on the list, last but certainly not least, is Domtar, based in Raleigh. Their CEO is John Williams. Their local HR contact is Chrissy Ball. Locally, they have 60 employees out of a total of 10,000. And when posed with the question, what's your most popular wellness initiative? Their answer, based on feedback from employees, we've expanded our offerings to reflect a more holistic approach to well-being, going beyond the idea that wellness is just about physical fitness. Since January of 2017, we've broadened our scope to improving the physical, psychological, and financial health through education and activities that support healthy lifestyles and help Domtar better manage health costs. Our voluntary Your Well-Being program reaches our nearly 10,000 employees in the United States, Canada, Europe, and Asia. And that completes the listing of the healthiest employers. So congratulations to these 2019 winners. Now turning to the news pages of this week's Triangle Business Journal under the heading of On the Rise, comes the article, Amazon Shows Off New Garner Distribution Center. Scores of public officials and members of the media got a sneak peek inside Amazon's new fulfillment center in Garner on October 22nd, with Amazon officials showcasing millions of square feet, soon to be home to thousands of robots and 1,500 workers. The massive new facility is situated at 4851 Jones Sausage Road by the intersection with Interstate 40 and is set to open ahead of the 2020 holiday season. The $200 million facility was announced in 2018 and features 2.6 million square feet across four stories. Once open, thousands of robots will rush across acres of concrete, bringing ordered goods to Amazon associates who will pick out the right items for shipping. Garner Mayor Pro Tem Ken Marshburn thanked those involved in the project and added, "We have a saying here in Garner that Garner is a great place to be. And as a result of what's happening here, it's going to be an even greater place to be. We're truly excited to count Amazon as a part of our business community." Garner Economic Development Director Joe Stallings emphasized the importance of regional partnerships in making the project happen. "It's impossible to have something like this without the partnerships at the state and the county and regional level to help pull all this together. It's an opportunity to give people a chance to improve their quality of life through employment," Stallings said. The Garner facility will create around 1,500 jobs paying at least $15 per hour, with additional opportunities for employees, including educational and certification opportunities through what the company calls its Career Choice Program. It's something employees are eligible for right away. Amazon front-loads tuition pay 95% of the cost. Rob Packett, Regional Director of Operations at Amazon for the Southeastern United States, said that among these programs, some of the most popular degrees and certifications are in robotics, engineering, and accounting, as well as in human resources and commercial driver's license. Over 10,000 Amazon employees are enrolled in the program, he said, and that figure is expected to hit 20,000 sometime next year. Construction on the new Garner facility began last year, and now crews are putting the finishing touches on the outside of the building. And in other news under the heading of West Raleigh comes the article, Kentucky Developer Plans New Hotel Near PNC Arena. Wolfpack and Hurricanes fans attending home games could have a spot to stay right across from their team's arena, as a Kentucky-based developer has plans to build a hotel near PNC Arena. Malcolm Bryant Corporation is making its entrance into the Raleigh hotel market after filing site plans with the city of Raleigh earlier this month for a project called Hilton Garden Inn Wade Park, a proposed 165-room hotel just across Edwards Mill Road from the home of the Carolina Hurricanes and NC State University basketball teams. Plans call for a 135,000-square-foot, seven-story hotel complete with 194 parking spaces. The project is situated on 2.6 acres at 5410 Wake Park Boulevard. Malcolm Bryant Corporation's website lists a hotel project in Raleigh coming in 2021. The announcement is significant in that Raleigh has hoped to see more development in the area, which opened in 1999. The company bought the land in early March for $3.8 million from the Preston Development Company in Cary. The new hotel would sit across the street from the Post Parkside at Wade Phase 3. That's a 160,000-square-foot, three-story apartment community featuring 150 units. Cary-based planning and engineering firm Withers Ravenel submitted the plans on behalf of Malcolm Bryant. Founded in the 1980s, Malcolm Bryant Corp. is a family-owned real estate development and investment firm based out of Owensburg, Kentucky. The company has residential, commercial, and hotel properties throughout the Southeast. Now we turn to the viewpoint page of the Triangle Business Journal, and the guest column this week is written by John Oren, who actually writes for Sports Business Journal. It's a TBJ sister publication, and his article is entitled, "For This Sports Editor, Priesthood Brought Healing." Anthony Federico was 28 years old on February 17th of 2012, working the night shift as a content editor for the ESPN mobile web. That meant he wrote headlines and chose the editorial direction for the site. That night, the Jeremy Lin-led Knicks lost to the New Orleans Hornets, ending a seven-game winning streak, and Lin did not play well. around 2:30 a.m. Eastern, Federico decided to lead the site with a column that focused on how Lynn played poorly for the first time as a starter. I tried to think of a headline that would go with a story, something that would reflect his first display of weakness since his incredible winning streak, he said. I wrote the headline, Chink in the Armor, to describe Jeremy Lin's first display of weakness as a starter. Within a half hour, the headline started going viral on social media, and not in a good way. Most commenters considered the headline to be offensive, given that it was directed at Lin, who is of Chinese descent. When he saw how his headline was being interpreted, Federico was filled with such dread that he went to the bathroom and threw up. Even though it was 3:30 a.m., he drove to his parents' nearby house and woke them to explain what had happened. They were hopeful it would blow over. It didn't. The next couple of days were the darkest, worst days of my life, he said. My name and address got leaked to the media. The van started showing up. Reporters and photographers were following me and my parents around. A few days later, ESPN fired him. At just 28 years old, Federico's budding sports media career was in tatters, replaced by paparazzi and public humiliation. Very dark, very depressed. The worst month of my life, he said. About a month after leaving ESPN, though, he picked up a job at Stamford, Connecticut's sports media company called Live Clips. Around the same time, he met Lynn for lunch in New York City. I think this was his way of trying to show me that he didn't think there was any malicious intent behind the headline, he said. Federico's new job was more focused on business than editorial. That meant he kept more regular hours than the overnight shift. During his lunch hour, he strolled around downtown Stamford, a walk that would take him by St. John the Evangelist Basilica, which had a daily noon mass. Federico described his upbringing as more of a cultural Catholic than a practicing one, so much so he didn't realize a Catholic mass is celebrated every day. On the first day, I walked past it and thought it looked cool, Federico said. On the second day, I walked past it again. Then, how biblical, on the third day, I decided to go in and see for myself what's going on. Federico was ordained a Catholic priest in June. Federico felt so moved by the experience that attending the noon mass became part of his daily routine. He started bringing curious co-workers with him, most of whom weren't Catholic, and they went out afterward to talk about the mass and Catholicism. He would go home to learn about Catholic teaching so he could explain some of the mass's rituals to his co-workers. After a year and a half, he felt an intense calling to become a priest. I started to realize that I was hungry for something more in life, something different than sports media, something that would have a more lasting effect on the world, he said. He Googled, how do you become a Catholic priest? And ended up talking to the vocations director in the Hartford Archdiocese, who helped him through the process. Still torn and terrified over the prospect of not dating anymore or not raising a family of his own, he leaned on advice from his mother. You feel afraid to go into the seminary? Do it afraid, she said. Go face your fears, because you'll always wonder what might have been if you didn't at least give this a chance. He ended up at seminary in Washington, D.C. on Catholic University's campus. I thought I'd go to seminary for one semester, and I'd probably hate it and I'd leave, he said. But I ended up being in seminary for 6 years. He thought a lot about how the Jeremy Lin incident affected his decision to become a priest. Something tells me that this was always the path that I'd been called to, he said. This was the way God used to get my attention, his plan for my life. Next, we come to the editor's notebook from this week's Triangle Business Journal, and it's entitled, What's Up with the Economy? Closely Follow the Earnings. On October 23rd, Texas Instruments released its third quarter earnings and projected a revenue decline of between 10 and 17% during the fourth quarter. The company cited trade wars, timing uncertainty with Brexit, and the Hong Kong instability as the primary reasons for the bearish outlook. And just why should we really care about the earnings of one company? Because TI represents the conditions of the semiconductor industry worldwide. When TI sneezes, the technology sector gets sick. The same day, Boeing Corporation announced that profits were cut in half during the third quarter, primarily because of trade tensions and the tariff standoff initiated by the U.S. Two companies don't make a trend, but indications are beginning to emerge that many companies may be gearing up for some serious cost control measures if this profitability slowdown goes across various industries. Interestingly, through October 23rd, the third quarter earnings season has generally topped analyst expectations despite the weak results. That should make one think that Wall Street's anticipating bad news in the next 3 weeks and has discounted the stocks accordingly. If that's the case, does that mean the corporate hurt is being masked? We really may not know how bad things are because the stock market is not reacting. So when it comes to understanding the flow of money, no other industry is as important as banking, and banks are beginning to release their earnings. Not many banks have released their numbers yet, but already because of the rate cuts, banks are feeling bottom-line pressures, so much so that the banking sector has now dipped below fair value. Banks like Citi are now trading at 1.04, that's the price-to-tangible book ratio. Someone must know something. As far as interest rates go, there's almost no chance now that the Federal Reserve would look to raise rates, given the earnings and the sentiment from Washington, D.C., that currency manipulation across the globe is hurting U.S. businesses. If anything, Fed Chairman Jay Powell may cut rates by another 25 basis points before the holidays. In the past few days, the Fed even pumped an additional $60 billion of liquidity into the market. More rate cuts would result in further problems with revenue generation for banks that will maintain margins by cutting costs. The other sector to keep a close eye on would be housing, of course. After 2 months of brief rebound of higher month-over-month existing home sales, the housing market sputtered in September, with sales down 2.2%. In many respects, this earnings season feels like it may be the most important, because it may set the course for the U.S. economy, at least through next year's elections. So, pay close attention. And finally, the Business Survey Pulse this week asked the question, how much do you spend on fantasy sports? And about 2,000 people said, 73% said zero. I just don't play fantasy sports. 9% said up to $250. I'm pretty serious about fantasy sports. 7% said up to $50. I play low stakes fantasy sports. That music means that we've run out of time for today's episode of the Triangle Business Journal. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Alton Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Today's program is generously underwritten by Brian Lee Funeral Homes, located in Raleigh, Garner, and Anger. They believe they can be reached at 919-832-8225. They believe every life is unique and deserves to be honored so that every funeral is as unique and special as the person it represents. Got questions? Call us 919-832-5138.